place.
Yeah, so anyway, I get back into the aid station. I see Lieutenant Brown there, the doctor and stuff. He bought me a Purple Heart. And that was the only one they had. But these Purple Hearts didn't have no names on them. You know, they weren't named. And this guy next to me was screaming and hollering for his ma and everything, you know. He was buggered up pretty good. And I told him, you give it to that guy, maybe it'll settle him down a little bit, you know. Which that's what they did. So anyway, I was there about, I had 105 fever for almost 10 days.
Holy
crap. Yeah. They couldn't seem to break it, you know. So the SS Mercy was anchored off.
Sure.
They loaded me in one of them little landing crafts and they hoisted me up on a, what's it called, on SS Mercy. And I was setting off on a deck. I was laying on a stretcher on a deck. And they brought some of these nurses in that we, that were released from the prison camps. We were in on it, but we didn't get close to the prison camps, but we were in on where these soldiers were guarding the prison camps. You know, they were away from them, but they were guards, you know what I mean? Like, and we cleaned them up. We didn't get too close to the prisoners at all. But anyway, I'll never forget this one nurse. She said, they were taking her down the hatch, you know, hatchway. Look out below, she said, here I come on my dirty asshole. I'll never forget that. Never. But that was a nurse that said that, and these other nurses stood there, and you know, they look like skeletons, you know.
These are ones from Trigador and Bataan.
Right.
Yeah.
See? And they look like skeletons, and I seen them there. So I was in a, I was put in a bunk with one of the prisoners on top of me. I was on a lower bunk. And they were operating on a guy that were taking a bullet out of his chest. It was an explosive bullet.
Oh, great.
And they were operating like from here to them chairs from me. Maybe not even that far. I could almost see, you know. And I was just laying there and they were taking that bullet out of the guy, you know.
Did he make it?
Yeah. They got the bullet out. I don't know if the guy made it. They got the bullet. So, but this guy up at the top, they would only give him so much to eat, see? And he was seemed like he was hungry. He wanted more to eat.
Yeah.
No. This was a young Marine that was in on that battalion deal. See, he was one of the prisoners.
He was up in the
top bunk. So, I got an egg. I got a boiled egg, you know. And when they were nurses, I slipped it under my pillow, you know. And when the nurses wasn't looking, I just, thank you, cook. And he wasn't supposed to get that because his stomach is so small.
He'd get sick.
I tell him, don't eat that too fast.
Don't eat it all.
No. You don't know. So anyway, so that was my experience on the, and boy, it was a beautiful ship, that SS Mercy. It was a hospital ship.
I went to New Guinea. It was parked at Manus when we were down there one time. Manus is just north of New Guinea. Mm-hmm. And it was out there in the bay. But I never got near it. It's a big, beautiful.
Well, I was on it.
Looked like a great,
big white.
Great, big, beautiful hotel out there.
Yeah, she was beautiful. Yeah. Big red cross on the side of her.
Two of them. One before, one after.
And so I went to New Guinea then, see. I went into New Guinea, and
what, New Guinea from Samar?
From Leyte. So from Leyte. Samar, I went to Leyte, and then they put me on the SS Mercy, and then I went to New Guinea. See. So while I was in New Guinea, that was a big hospital there, you know, and there was no fighting or nothing like that. But the doctors were trying to evaluate me. I don't know. I suppose they thought maybe I was nuts or some damn thing. I don't know. You know. But they were trying to straighten up my yaws and stuff like this, you know, and I had yellow jaundice and I had malaria and things like
fever.
Yeah. So I had a nurse that was took care of me pretty well, and she put me in a wheelchair and we'd go down and see the movies and stuff like this here, you know, different things. She took pretty good care of me. And then they put me, they were going to give me this sodium barbitol or
sodium
some damn kind of something or tall.
Yeah, I know what you
true
mean.
True serum.
Yeah.
True serum.
Yeah. Sodium barbitol, didn't it?
So, yeah. So they had to put me in a room by myself, you know what I mean. I felt like I was in a cell. I says, hey, I ain't no damn prisoner, you know, oh, no, Cook, this is nothing to do with that. They're gonna find out what you've seen and what you've gone through and stuff of this thing. Oh, and I should tell you that while I was on Leyte, and I was in the Battle of Killing, about Christmas time, I had sent a letter to my brother, and he was in North Africa somewhere. Italy, actually, where he was, Italy. And I got the damn letter back, and it was marked with a finger and a hand like that, deceased. See? And this was Christmas Eve.
Right.
And we had mail call, you know. Some mail delivered, and I had this here on. I wouldn't even open. I said, my God, this is my handwriting. This is my letter. What do they mean by this? So I went to Captain Barron. Oh, he says, Grant. He says, this probably don't mean a thing. He said, probably don't mean a thing. You know, they make mistakes all the time, you know. I says, this means he's gone, eh? Well, that's what it says, but, you know, it don't mean nothing. Well, that night they pull a Benzai and I burn up a machine gun barrel, and and Barron says, geez, I wish you wouldn't have done that. He said, them barrels come kind of dear, he said, you know. But the gun bullets wouldn't go from here to that shed over there. They were melted, kind of got out of there.
Was it turned out? Was he killed?
He was killed at casino. He went, he received communion by the Pope.
Oh, no.
And everything, and this was happening, see. So, you know, that was a big deal up there that they were trying to get to, that the Germans kept them down, and finally they had to bomb it. But he was killed, and he was killed by an 88. He walked all the way down the mountain to the aid station and dropped over dead right in the doorway. That's what I understand. So this kind of upset me pretty good, see? And, you know, that was when I was on the late day, yeah, that happened. So anyway, then I was in New Guinea, and nothing really ever happened over there, other than they try to evaluate me, and they were sending me home. Then, see? I was put on the SS Cape Nettic. On Cape Nettic. Medic. Yeah. And I was sitting under the bridge, and they blew that damn horn, and I took off, and I went over the side, and when I fell, I grabbed a hold of the ladders, those rope ladders, you know, that
cargo
would climb
nets.
Up the cargo nets, yeah. And I held on. I was upside down, like, not upside down, but I was backwards looking around. I was holding on. They dragged my hind end up and pulled me over.
I could just see that.
Yeah, well, I took right off. Boy, I mean, I was sitting there some night, and boy, I just took right off and right over the side. And I don't know how to swim. That was the beauty part.
Oh, boy.
And,
you think it was a cargo net.
Oh, the cargo net saved me anyway. And they pulled me up. And I says, where can I get away from this damn
Navy?
You know, yeah. So
what
anyway,
I forgot. I wanted to ask you, where were you in New Guinea?
Oh, in Hollandia.
Hollandia?
Yeah. There's a big hospital
that's
in there.
That's on the south side, isn't it?
Well, somewhere, I don't know. But I was in there, and there was a big hospital in there. And
they flew you in from Leyte?
No, I went, what?
Did they fly in from Leyte to...
No, I went on SS Cape,
oh, right.
on the SS Mercy.
Yeah, that's right.
To Hollandia, yeah. Then I went home on the Cape Nettic. I went home on a Cape Nettic, SS Cape Nettic, and we went in there, and they were having this big confab. That was Stalin, Churchill,
Roosevelt,
and then a big deal over there in California, you know. We were coming in on them straight, and we had to turn around and go back. And then we went into Washington. We had to go on around California way or some damn thing or something, back around up into the state of Washington. And that's where we unloaded. It was over there. And
so right back where you started, huh?
Yeah. So
what was the Cape Nettie?
That was a banana boat.
Yeah.
That was a troop ship.
Alligators?
Well, we called them alligators.
Well, I mean,
what
yeah.
do
well,
we call it?
Yeah,
we called them an alligator. So anyway, let's see. I'm trying to figure out whether we went into Tabin first or what. No. Yeah, we went into Tabin first. So we cut across through some pretty good jungle, and we get into this here one village, and they got a big field in the back. I imagine that they use that for agriculture, like corn and stuff of this sort, what they might plant it. And there was a big church in the back of the field from the village. So they had to walk an eighth of a mile or better, probably to church. Catholic church, and they had a big cross in on the altar. I'll never forget that. But anyway, before we got into Tabin, we had to cross the river. And of course the river, and then we come to the village is right there. In other words, the water was their supply, the water. So we were pretty afraid that we were going to get nailed by them Japs, because on the other side, on the side of the river, instead of on the village side of the river, was on the other side. There was a sniper, and he was really raising hell with us. And in fact, I remember I was laying. Well, there was, how the hell was that? We was right behind a knoll, and this guy was sitting there like this, kind of funny, you know. And I went over and I touched him, and I said, "Come on, buddy, let's go." You know, and he just kind of flipped over sideways like that, and he had a bullet right between his eyes. Jeez. And so I went on, and I hit the dirt, and a couple of boys says, "You hit Cook?" I says, "No." I says, "That's just the way I hit the dirt," I said, "I guess, see." So about that time, our radio man got hit. And this one sniper, he was really raising hell with us, see. And our radio man got hit, and he was like from here to that shack from me, and probably 75 feet, 100 feet from me. And the one sergeant hollered at me, "Cook, go get them radios." I says, "You go to hell, get them yourself." See? I mean, I'm not a real brave man, I'm not a coward either, but the guy got a bullet right there, and that damn rifle is pointed there somewhere, see? And I didn't figure I was in too safe a position in the first place anyway, see? And I says, "I think we best better look for that sniper, you know?" And about that time, I says, somebody, it was somebody hollered for a corpsman. And I'll be damned if them guys didn't run right up there, load that guy on a stretcher, took him right out. See, and I said, "Hey, throw me them damn radios, will you?" So they throwed me the radios, and I pushed them on over to that sergeant, see. Now, they can say what they want about them Corps guys, but I think they stuck their necks out a damn sight further than what us old dog faces did, because they were right on the stick, I'll tell you. And they didn't care where they were, they just went. But what happened was, this sniper, he was in the top of a barn. He was in a barn. They stored hay or something in it, I imagine. Just like a regular red old barn, a big red barn. And he was right in the very gable end of her. And he was picking us guys off like fish in a barrel. And finally, we found out where that darn rifle was. And they can shoot at you, and you don't see no fire out of their barrels. You know, they shoot acid. They don't shoot powder.
Shoot acid?
Yeah.
Oh,
and that's what they fire. And there's no fire they could almost shoot machine gun out the side. You can't hardly see any fire at all. So everybody hollered their rifles at that place there. Well, when we got done, we didn't get no more fire out of there. See? And then we moved on across the river. We were worried about having machine guns set up on the river for anybody crossing the river. That's a good place to catch them, you know. But they didn't have them set up there. So we moved on into the field. Now, the 2nd Battalion, the 1st Battalion, no, 2nd and 3rd, the 2nd and 3rd were online, and the 1st was in reserve. So, we gets in the Tabin, gets in the village, we moves on through, not too much resistance. We get out to the field, and we get a little resistance, so naturally we hit the dirt and whatever. And there was kind of a ditch that run through there, like a drainage ditch, almost not quite center of the field, about three-quarter way down. About a quarter way down. And it was like a drainage ditch, the field. And here comes one of these tanks. I think it was one of our own United States tanks, but it was the old World War I tank, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it had a kind of a straight deal on there. And about that time, and where this guy ever come from, it was a personnel carrier. And he had twin 50s on that son of a beam. It was on a traverse. They could run that thing clean around, you know, them. He cut down on that son of a bean, and when he got done, that old tank top was flopping like a tin can had been opened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The turret was flopping. It just cut it. And with them twin 50s, he opened up with there. See? Well, you know, it didn't do us any damage. It didn't do any of the company's damage, because it didn't have a chance. It just come out of the jungles and hit that field. And when it hit that field, this personnel carrier had. This guy was right there. Where the hell he come from? And he had a snub nose, but he had a snub nose 105. Snub nose. They're only about that big.
Yeah.
Well, when we got into the field, boy, we were getting machine gun fire.
What, this tank, did you say this was an American tank?
Yep. The Jap tank come out, really, I think, was an old American World War I tank. I think it was
probably we sold them everything.
I think it was, is what it was. And they had them straight turrets, like, you know.
Yeah.
And kind of a straight, funny turret. Well, this personnel carrier come out, he just zipped them. That was it, you know. And the bugger just run off, just in the jungle and just gone, you know. They were all dead in there, no doubt. You know. There was no doubt about it. But anyway, so we're picking up machine gun fire. Really heavy, going at it. So, no, wait a minute. I'm ahead of myself. So anyway,
you were back to where there was a.
I got to back up here. We were online. We were online. And since we were online, clean from the initial invasion, from the initial assault, they put us in reserve. So here we're setting. We're setting parts of us in the village, you know, on the outskirts of the village, by this here big field. The 1st Battalion, 3rd Battalion, they march on ahead. They go. They're gone. And we're setting in reserve, so we can come as we damn please, see? So this is when this tank come out.
Yeah, okay.
Now this is when this tank come out, and this personnel carrier come from nowhere. See, he come from the back of us. Somehow he had come, got with us. We don't know where the hell he come from. So he took care of that tank, okay. And about that time, we started to march across the field, you know, to join the other outfit, you know, the ones that went ahead. And boy, we got. Hell broke loose, old boy. They throwed every damn thing and their brother from the back of us, the front of us, and the whole damn works. See?
Yes. what the hell? Well, we had this personnel carrier, and he had this short snub 105. So we got by him, and we were trying to point to where the pillboxes was, you know, and he'd go, kaboom, you know. Hey, missed that bugger by the mile, you know. Well, finally, he ran out of ammo. We busted out a couple of them, but this was well organized, you know. I mean, it was tunneled all the way around his field. They had us really surrounded, and they had us surrounded by the village too, because they were dug under the damn huts, and we didn't even know that. And they'd pick them huts up, you know, where you're supposed to have the shitter, you know. You shit from the top, you know, through a hole, you know. And they picked them tops up, and boy, they'd cut down on us. And we'd try to go back after water and stuff, you know, back to the river. And boy, we had a hell of a time, you know. We lost a few guys, you know. So Abilene was with me. He was with us. But I got to tell you, before we crossed the river, and this was a day or so before, Barron allowed me to give him that gun. Give him that gun. And you never seen such a clean gun in your life. That son of a...
What did you give him?
That little 45, that little grease gun. This grease gun. And he shined that thing. Oh, he was so proud of that. And he was with us. And in fact, we were putting him on the payroll, and because there was another thing that he done too before this happened. I'll tell you about it. And Barron really liked that. In fact, Barron wanted him for his number one boy, and he stayed with me though. So anyway, we were in this real fight, and I'm just trying to place this all.
Well, let's go back to the ditch across the field.
Well, I know this is important too. I just can't get my timing here right. But anyway, I'm just trying to figure out whether I lost Abilene at Tabin or over in Meechin Ridge, or on the Bloody Ridge. I'm just trying to figure out where I lost him. He didn't have the gun too long, but he used it at night. He used it because he wasn't allowed in the perimeter yet. Oh, it wasn't in Tabin. Anyway, he was allowed to have his gun. He allowed to have a gun, and he had that thing shining like a nigger's heel, boy, I'll tell you. It was really...
really proud of it.
All proud. You couldn't have seen a prouder man in your life. In fact, I was getting to the point to where he was such a good friend of mine that I would take him back to the States with me, you know, and take care of him. He was an older man, but he was very thoughtful and very... He'd give the shoes right off his feet to you if need be, you know. He was that good. See, anyway.
I'll bet you even though he had the machine gun, he didn't drop his machete.
No. Oh, no, no. Oh, my God. No, right on that machete. No way. Anyway, and he done a lot for us. This is what I'm getting at. So he was with us in Tabin. And he done his damage. He did a lot. I only allowed him one clip. And I don't really recall how many rounds was in there, 45 rounds was in there, but it was a good little number, 35, probably 40 rounds.
About that long, yeah.
Yeah. And he did his job, but we got ambushed. You might call that an ambush. So we had to burn the village down, for one thing. And they pulled two band's eyes on us. We were there a couple of days fighting. We were running out of ammo, had no ammo. And there was one concrete pillbox in the corner. And that was the mainstay, see? And we tried to get that 105 to bust it. And we called for artillery and stuff. And they did, we cracked it. Well, when it was cracked, one guy says, hey, he says, I know where there's a 5-gallon can of Jap gasoline, you know. Hey, that's the thing we want, you know. Dump it down that crack and touch her off, see. So, anyway, before this, Easley sent the tanks, Sherman tanks, in from Killing, where the 1st and 2nd Battalion, 1st and 3rd Battalions had gone. They were already gone. We were like a lost battalion. He wanted to know where the hell his army was. So he sent a Sherman tank down to us, see? And it come in from the other way, but because it had to come across the Jap line, see? To us. Well, Jesus, a damn thing come in there, and before we realized, we thought it was a Jap tank coming, see? You know, we're out in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
We lost 60% of our company there in that fight. And I was going to say about this big cross that was in the church. The altar, it was so full of holes you couldn't find parts of it, seemed like. And that cross never got touched.
Still there.
Never got touched. And we had our wounded and dead in there, in the church. And we had salt pills to eat. And we were all vomiting and everything. We were so sick. And we were eating grass. And we took, it was a buffalo wallow there, and we took parts of our clothes like that and dipped them in there like that there. And then we took our canteen cup and wring them out like that and then put a Hellazone tab and drink it, you know. We had no water because we couldn't get back to that damn river. Everybody was cussing like hell about that river, you know. The river was right there. We couldn't do nothing about it, see. So anyway, okay. Here comes a Sherman. Oh man, we see it what it is. Oh boy. And a damn Jap jumps out of a spider hole right into the damn boogies, you know. Kaboom! That was the end of the Sherman. So, well, these guys, they had their guns, you know, and they've knocked out a pillbox here and knocked out a pillbox there, you know, with this one gun, you know. And then finally they had to dismantle the gun. It was no damn good. They didn't know where to shoot, you know. And they busted up their machine guns and throw the ammo down to us, you know, for our gunners, you know, for the night, you know. So they pull another banzai on us. I got into a dead gun hole. It was a dead Jap and a son of a bean, and he was rotten. And I had a set there. I jumped in it. I couldn't get out of there. And I was covered with maggots and everything. And, well, I was so goddamn scared. I didn't know whether I was coming or going. They blowed the bugles and they screamed banzai and they didn't. Where the hell these Japs come from? We don't even know. We thought we was killing them, you know. And anyway, this here one damn Jap deal, this one pillbox was there, see. So finally the one guy said, about the gasoline. That's fine. So, about that time, we hear boom, 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 and here comes another tank. So we moved the company in, one of the companies in closer to where we could guard it, you know. And King, he's the one that went right in the front of the tank and pointed, shoot there, you know, and shoot there, you know. And boy, they would bloom, you'd see a Jap fly away out here and that, and then he dropped that track right over the into the tunnels, you know, the tunnels of Leeds, you know. So finally, he was sent, he got the Silver Star, and he was sent to officer's training school, too, before the whole war was up. This guy walked right out, and his one didn't get, I don't know why he didn't get killed, but should have. Anyway, we get this gasoline, dumps it down there, and boy, we touched it off. Them guys come flying out of that thing. He's mine. Well, we only had maybe 5-10 rounds apiece. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were down to nothing, you know. And I don't recall how many we got out of there, but there was a hell of a bunch of them come out. And thank God for that one Sherman tank, because we would have had one hell of a time again, because I don't think we got a hell of a banzai again, you know. because we didn't have no ammo, you know. We was running out. Nothing could reach us, see, except where that personnel carrier come from, nobody knows, you know. And he had 50s on, and they weren't worth a shit for us. We couldn't do nothing with 50s, you know, and nothing to fire with. So anyway, we followed the old tank. We were all beat up and everything, trying to carry some of our, you know, outfit, you know, some of the wounded hanging onto them and stuff. And we had to leave a lot of them there, and then they sent the meat wagons back after a whole damn big string of them. We lost 60% of our country in that company in that fight, you know. So anyway.
What was the name of that place?
Tabin. Yeah. So then we got up into Meechin Ridge. And the reason they call that Meechin Ridge was this is where our first experience with real Jap prisoners. Colonel Meechin, very compassionate, nice guy. He wasn't in our outfit. He was in our army, but he wasn't in our outfit. But they named this ridge after him because these prisoners come out.
Oh, he got my name right.
These prisoners come out. Yeah, I'll have one, but I'll guzzle this down, please. I got beer. Hold on, I should bring it.
It's good if we run out here. We go over there.
Tom, do you want anything out of this car?
No. I hope not. I got all the tapes. I got.
He had these Jap prisoners, see, and they come out, you know, hands up like this here, see. And this officer come in. Thank you.
And bye.
We'll see you guys after now. Yeah, drive back. Careful.
Okay.
So, these Jap prisoners come out, and he always warned his men to be careful with these guys, you know. But he was a pretty brave man in one sense of way, and maybe a little foolish too. But he went to meet him, see, and this officer. And this officer come in, and there was a guy behind him. He just thought it was a guy, you know. And we got up there, he was going to greet him, you know. This damn officer bent over like this, and he had a gun strapped to his back, and that guy jumped on it and killed him. Shot him right there. Blew him half in two. And so they named that ridge Meechin Ridge, see. And that's where that name comes from. It was Colonel Meechin that we lost. And from there on, we made them strip, right bare naked. And then they were handed a piece of cloth to cover themselves after that, you know. But really, we didn't take too many prisoners because we had one fella that didn't want no prisoner. And he carried a lot of weight. His brother was in G Company. And he got captured that one evening by the Japs, and we sat back there and holler and listened to him scream all night. He died with 1,000 cuts. And the brother was in our outfit in F Company, and his brother was in G Company.
What was his rank? The guy.
I don't know.
If you were just a GI, you wouldn't
just,
know.
He was a GI, just like any of us. Just like any of us, dog. But it was his brother. And man, I want to tell you, that man went out of his head, plain.
That's
wild. Wild. And nobody said nothing to him, and nobody fooled him. I don't even think the medics, they knew that he was out of his mind. They wouldn't even touch him. See? He'd kill him probably. See? So we had a banzai pull there, so it was another battle. I got about six different battles that I'm entitled to, stars. See? And of course I'm entitled to the Arrowhead too, being an invasion force, the first. That's in the first wave. The only ones that got the Arrowhead.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So it wasn't the whole invasion force. It was just the first wave that got the arrowhead. And we was on the flagship. We carried the officers. So I know I'm entitled to that. So anyway, we had a battle there, and then I'm trying to think now how this all went. Oh, then they wanted a road from the one side of the island over the mountains to Ormoc. See, the town of Ormoc. And that was a harbor like too, see? But it was on the other side of the islands. We were chosen as to build this road. And we got one bulldozer and two engineers. That was our construction crew. And we commenced to build the road to Ormoc. Well, of course, We had run into different forces in the jungle. You know, they were hiding. A lot of the Japanese were hiding. They were scared. You know, we drove.
Oh yeah. Good.
And of course, we run into them, and naturally there would be a firefight or whatever. And while we were building this, Thanksgiving rolled around. See. So. I can remember going down after the Thanksgiving stuff, see? And they had them in big thermo deals, and we had our buffaloes, you know, and we strapped them onto that.
Still had your buffalo?
Oh, yes. We wouldn't get rid of our buffaloes. We hung right onto them. And we were bringing them up. I was a first scout. And I seen this guy run across the trail, you know, and everybody down, you know, off and down. Well, the second scout, Fox, was behind me, and he looked at me, and he said, and I told him, over there. So he circled, you know, I was watching him, you know, circling. He was going from one tree to the other, and I held him. So I says, okay. So I drawed the guy's fire, see? And then he busted around, he got behind him. And I'll never forget that. I could see the guy. I could almost shoot him. But I didn't want to put him in a position where he would be taking us guys. See? So I'd rather let him lay there. He didn't know exactly how our outfit was lined up. See? So it was kind of funny. And it wasn't. And I see Fox in the back. Like that big tree there. And I see him in the back. So I draw the guy's fire, and he run right up to the guy, and before he could rack the bolt like that, he hit him and touched him on the shoulder like
that.
Shit out
of him. Boom.
See?
Boy,
so,
bad enough getting killed, but get scared first or something else.
Yeah. So then we went on, and we got up there, and would you believe all our turkey was spoiled? So we issued each guy a piece of bread that we got from the Navy. They baked us nice loaves of bread.
They did.
And some of it was mildewed, but we didn't give a damn, you know. I think the penicillin helped us.
Yeah.
And we got an egg apiece. And I want to tell you, when you seen a guy with an egg, you went way around. Because if he thought you broke that son of a bean of an egg wrong, he'd shoot you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway,
raw eggs or cooked eggs?
They were raw eggs. They were raw eggs, and we made little pans, you know, out of the K ration cans, you know, fried them in there, you know, and we had our egg and a nice slice of bread, and I don't know what else. Might have been some vegetable in there, but I don't recall what it was. But the turkey was rotten; it was done, and we didn't get a hell of a lot. But okay. So then we continued on, and we were building this road, and I happened to be a last man, you know, last guy, rear guard. So I felt the hair on the back of my neck kind of raising a little bit, and I knew there was something wrong. And I'd peek back and I couldn't quite make out. But there was something there and I didn't know what. So we come, and in the jungles, they always had their trails run straight, and then it would turn at a 45, zip. That's the way it was, corner. An American will always cut a corner off. He'll do that every damn time. See? He never goes to the end of the trailer and then...
You mean 90 degrees?
Well, maybe 90 degrees. Yeah, this way.
Yeah,
like
straight
this.
Corner, yeah.
Straight corner. So we come up to one of those turns like that. And when I did, I went up ahead and I stepped out quick and went, here was a Jap. He had been following me. And I shot him. And went over, and it was a Jap officer. In fact, I got some of his bars home yet. I got his bars and stuff I'd stuffed in my pockets, you know. And they come tearing back, what's the matter, Cook? I said, oh, that son of a bitch has been following me a long time. And I said, I don't know why he didn't take me. But I think he was waiting for a good position because, you know, we're lined up, then he would show himself, you know.
Well, he certainly wasn't alone, was he?
He was alone. As far as we knew, he was alone. He didn't see nothing else. That's what I'm trying to say. As we pushed a lot of these guys into the jungles, and they're, you know, they're good jungle men. There's no doubt about it. But he was alone. So we went on, and we met a little resistance here and there, you know. And we were on one patrol, and this is where they got King. And they decided that he would go to the
OCS.
And we were on a patrol. And hell, we run right smack dab into them buggers, you know. And they was really giving us hell, but we had one or two wounded, but we didn't have anybody killed, thank God. And this King, come on, you guys, he says, we can't sit around here like this and let them donkeys do blah, 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 you know. So we took after them and we cleaned them out. And we didn't have any real casualties. But I got to tell you one thing about Barron in the Tabin era. I got to back this up just a hair. About Captain Barron. We were all laying in this ditch. I said this ditch was about a quarter way across this field. We were all laying in this ditch. Scared to death to move out, and his second tank was the one that was coming up, and we only had just so much ammunition, and he wanted us out of that ditch, and we were going to go on the offensive, not defensive anymore. We were going to go on the offensive. Well, he stood right at the edge of that. I got to say about him, he's a great captain. Stood on the edge of that ditch, and he had a 45 caliber Thompson machine gun. And I'm giving you guys three. And he says, I'm emptying this magazine. And he counted three and he emptied her. There wasn't a guy in the ditch. We was all going like
that. Well, he was shooting in the ditch?
You were damn tootin' right.
He's gonna make sure you got
right
out.
Right down the ditch. He stood at the head of the ditch. Stood at the head of the ditch and he says, I'm counting. Well, we were all scared to death. We didn't know where the hell to go, you know what? He says, you're going up there and you're gonna meet that tank too. See? So that's one reason we got to that tank, see.
That's kind of the hard way to do it.
Oh, man, it was a hard way, I'll tell you.
Could have made up your mind for you.
Yeah, but I think we surprised the Japs at the point to where they didn't really do any damage at all, you know, so to us anyway. So anyway, I got to say this about Captain Barron. He was a great captain. He was a compassionate man. He was a great captain. Had one of the finest. I was honored to serve under him. Oh, there's Sharon. So anyway, now we're going to Ormoc. I get back to Ormoc again. So I was on a flank guard. And I was up on going up onto a hill. You know, like I said, this was through kind of mountains or hillies or some damn thing. But I could look down on the gang, you know, on our outfit coming through, you know. And the bulldozer and that was up ahead and the two engineers and they pushed these small trees over, you know, and guys would chop with their machetes and clean the, what you call me, you know, as best they can. We're making a trail all the way to Ormoc. Well, here comes a Jap, and I was coming up, and we both seen each other at the same time, and at that time I carried a Thompson. Because in the jungles, it's a lot easier to handle, you know, and the damn Garand is pretty heavy, you know. And I, at that time, I was carrying a Thompson. Well, I shouldn't be saying this, but I had the clip loader with dum-dum bullets. And the dum-dums were...
That's a no-no.
Yeah, we weren't supposed to have them.
That's the ones that spread out when they...
Oh,
go,
man.
They go in small and come out big?
Well, when I hit them, he rolled down, back down what little hill there was, and he went in two pieces like this. So, and I just waved at him that everything was clear. It was all clear. So like I said, these Japs, a lot of them were singly out, see? But they had ways to get back to their outfits. Don't think they did. They could have reported us coming through, see what I mean? This one Jap, if he'd have got to see what was down there and coming through, he could have reported that anyway. So, now the Japs were trying to throw every damn thing they had. They brought Japanese soldiers from all different islands, and you had mentioned this earlier. So we got up onto this mountain, overlooking Ormoc, and there was a part of the 24th that had come in from the other side, from along the beach area, the Roshan area, and had come in. And we were coming in right over the top from the other, like a pincer movement, yeah. See? And we were coming in from the top, and we could look down. Well, we wondered what all the racket and everything was going on over there in that area, in that direction. And what it was, the Navy, the Air Force, the Navy Air Force, and I would imagine maybe gunboats too, I don't know, had caught these Japanese troops trying to land onto Ormoc. And I think it was in a number about 15,000 bodies was floating in Ormoc Bay. She was black. From the top, you could look down, and you couldn't see blue water. You seen black. There's bodies floating in Ormoc Bay. They had sunk those ships and landing crafts and every damn other thing. Now, I'll tell you, we had Navy pilots that were, boy, they were good. They were good. And we had the gunboats, and I'm sure they were just as good. Yeah, because, hey, we didn't see no real ships or nothing out there. You know what I mean? We didn't see nothing of just bodies floating. They were all Japanese bodies. Well, those that did land had gotten into the village, and they had destroyed a lot of it. And we had, there was one part of our outfit. No? Yeah. One part of our outfit was another company, though. And it was a flamethrower guy. A guy that carried a flamethrower. And they got to the church in Ormoc. The Catholic church. And these damn Japs had raped the nuns and cut their tits off. And things like this, all the atrocities. And this man went wild. They damn near had to shoot him. Because if it was a Jap prisoner, he turned his damn flamethrower on him. He didn't care who it was or what. He just went wild. He says, "I will kill any Jap that I see." And he meant it. And he did it. And that's where I got a lot of my information that went on in that church. Because he went in that church and he seen that. And he just went wild. I didn't see this in the church because we never got down into Ormoc. We got as far as that top. And we looked down in there and we were ordered back. We were ordered back, see. Because the 24th was coming in there, see. But this one feller, and I don't know where he come from or what outfit, he was out of our outfit because I had met him. I don't know, maybe he's what part of the 24th. I don't really recall, but I met him in the hospital and he was telling me all about it. He was there. They told me that they had to take his flamethrower away from him and everything because when he seen yellow, he shot. He let him have it. He didn't give a damn who it was. He just cut him down, see. He went wild with it. And these flamethrower guys, they were a pretty brave bunch, you know. They had to go right out there and by God,
himself, yeah.
They had to do it. And And I'll tell you, boy, I seen those Japs come out full of fire and screaming and hollering, you know. And man, I'll tell you, boy, these flamethrower guys is great. I wouldn't want to have been hit by one, that's for damn sure, you know. But
all it took was a good bullet and he's gone too.
Yeah, so.
Carry a thing on his back.
We had to march back through the same damn road we made. Well, man, we was knee-deep in mud. We was slugging and everything, you know. We had to go back
through
it.
You were in mud? You didn't make a good road?
Well, we thought we
had a clear
road. I've had it raining all the time, you know. And so, well, we didn't make too bad. I thought we'd done a pretty good job with just a bulldozer and two engineers, you know.